Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Well Church Teaching Podcast. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and would love for you to join us. We hope you will be blessed by our teachings, and as always, we want you to know that God loves you.
Discipleship is something that the church talks about a lot, right? And we base discipleship off of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, this church included, we talk about the Great Commission all the time. We allude to it. It's part of our core values. But what I want us to do in this series is going to be a four-week series. We're going to have 1 week off for Mother's Day, and that's going to be an awesome day. But 4 weeks of learning what a disciple is, what discipleship means, and what it looks like, and some ways that we can actually apply it into our daily lives. Because as Christians, we're not supposed to just know about the Great Commission. We're supposed to what? Do it. Some of you are like, oh man, I should have faked like I went to the marathon, right? Because today, listen, I want to be honest with you. Me going through this stuff kind of stepped on my toes, even as a pastor, because discipleship is something that is so important, making disciples. It's the Great Commission of Jesus, but it's something that we in the church and churches have kind of neglected. It's something that we don't do enough. Or we just allow it to be the job of the pastors or Sunday school teachers or other people. But it's literally for all believers. I have a bunch of quotes that I want to share with you today to help you get your mind wrapped around this idea of discipleship. And this one is huge. It's from Neil Cole, another pastor. He says this: ultimately, each church will be evaluated by only one thing, its disciples. Your church is only as good as its disciples. It does not matter how good your praise and worship is, how good your preaching is, how good your programs or property are, if your disciples are passive, needy, consumerist, and not moving in the direction of radical obedience, your church is not good. Right? And he's not slamming the church. He's trying to show us the importance of disciple making. Church, I want you to understand this. It's in your teaching handout, and I want you to get this down. Every single one of us have to understand this. Making disciples is the purpose of the church. It is literally the purpose of the church. And I don't mean this building, I mean the group of people that we are considered the church. Every church, the church globally, every church is told, every church member, which is a person who follows Jesus, is told to go into all of the world, all people, every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every color, and make disciples. Making disciples, this idea of discipleship, is the purpose of the church. If you leave here and then you do work day and you're at home later and you're like, what was today about? If you just get this, that'll be perfect. This is the purpose of the church, which therefore, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple, it is now your purpose. It always has been your purpose, but through this series and through today as we introduce this, I'm hoping that this starts to get into us. The entire purpose why we met together today is, yes, to praise God, to worship God, to give offerings, to see each other as the church, but it's also to make disciples of people that are here that are not believers, right? And those of us that are believers that have followed Jesus maybe for months or years, it is to like continually equip us so that we can go out into this world and equip other people and teach them to obey all the things that Jesus has taught us, which is making disciples. So my first question is this. I have a bunch of questions for you, and I want you to think about this today. My first question is this. If you are a follower of Jesus, and this kind of nailed it home for me, all right? If you are a follower of Jesus, which is a disciple, and we're going to talk about the real meaning and the depth of the word disciple in a little bit, but if you consider yourself to be a Christian, someone who loves Jesus, who follows Jesus, my question for you is this: when is the last time you discipled another person? And I don't want you to answer that out loud, but I want you to think about that to yourself. When is the last time you sat down with somebody and actually discipled someone to Jesus and told them about Jesus? Some of us in this room are like, I don't even know what the process is. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even really truly understand what that all means and entails. And that's the exact purpose. I don't want you to panic. That's the exact purpose of why we're doing this series, right? Who has questions? I just want everybody to see this. You're not alone. Who has questions on this whole idea of discipleship? Like, really, what does it all entail? Look around. There's multiple people like, I've got this down. And some of you have been Christians like me for a long time, but this is my point. The church has neglected this. We've handed it off to just the paid people. But it doesn't work if it's just a handful of people. It only works if it's everyone playing their part. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at becoming disciple makers, because here's what I want you to understand. Being a disciple maker, being someone who points people to Jesus but also teaches people about Jesus, it is the most exciting thing that you can do in your life. Some of you know this. Some of you have been part of that. You've had conversations with people, and you've invited them to church, and you've told them about being baptized and dying to themselves, and you've seen their life transform, and you've seen them come to Jesus, and man, and you're like, man, I was a part of that. That's what we teach all the time. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, but we are also his mouthpiece. We also have to tell people. But the problem that the church has created is that we are really good at getting people saved, but then we stop there, right? And I want you to see this. I want you to understand this with me, and it's a big problem in this church, but a lot of churches in our culture. We want to get people into church. We want to get people to hear about Jesus. We want to get people to ask Jesus in their life. We want to get people baptized into Jesus. And then we're like, hey, sweet, you're in, you're going to heaven, you're great. But that is literally, church, step one of being a Christian. That is step one of being a Christian. And then just we leave them alone. We're like, hey, have this great faith life. Like, you're in now, good luck. But Paul calls people that are brand new believers, what does he call them? Baby Christians. Baby Christians. And we have some of those in here. Some of you that have been baptized in the last few months are new believers, are new. And that doesn't mean that you're like immature because you're a baby. It just means that you're a new believer. You become a new creation when you are saved and when you are baptized. And then we just leave you on your own. That would be the same as if you went to the hospital and you had a child and they bring you the child and then you just go, awesome, that kid is great. He looks so good. I'm glad you're here. And then you leave and you're like, have a great life. Good luck. What's going to happen to that child? They're either going to die or someone else is going to take them and to nurture them and to love them and raise them. Church, being a disciple maker is this. Step one of being a Christian is getting saved, is finding Jesus, having him become part of your life. But that's step one, because Christianity is not just a one-time event. Right? You don't become a Christian, you don't get baptized, and just high-five people and be like, man, I'm great, this is awesome. It's a journey, it's a lifestyle. It's part of this journey is continually picking up your cross and following Jesus and learning to be like him. You don't magically come out of the waters of baptism, or you don't magically ask Jesus into your life and then just know everything theologically, do you? Did anybody have that happen? Like, you get baptized and you came out of the water and you're like, I now understand Revelation. That did not happen, right? Theologians don't understand Revelation, right? Because Christianity is a process. This is why discipleship is so important. Jesus himself, the one that we follow, the one that we are supposed to disciple after and be like, we are his students, his learners, right? He taught and expected people to take this life serious. And he expected us to take discipleship serious because he taught it and he modeled it and he did it all of the time. Jesus was not concerned about attracting large numbers of people. He did, but that was never his goal. He was never about, hey, let's have big groups of people show up so I will become famous and I will be known as this great teacher. He actually shut down a lot of those things and would say things that were hard to grasp and hard to follow so that the crowds, the people that were just merely following and just wanted food and stuff, would leave and he would find out who the true people who were truly searching for him are. Because Jesus came not to just get people saved. I want you to hear this. Jesus did not come to this planet just to save people. And I know that sounds weird. He came to transform us from the inside out. Amen? He came to change us into new creation. And that is a daily process that starts when you become a Christian. It doesn't end then. You're not done. That's day one of your new created life. Jesus said things like this in Matthew 16, 24. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. Every day, right? This is a daily thing. Who's ever took a Tuesday off from your faith? Be honest. Just raise your hand. You're like, man, things are just crazy, and I'm just... And not that you told Jesus, like, hey, don't bother me, but like you just didn't care, you didn't pray, you did whatever you wanted. It doesn't work. doesn't work. And it's not like Jesus is going to be up there and he's going to zap you. You're just missing out what he has for you. He said this in Luke 14:27. This one's huge. He says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Be my disciple. What Jesus is saying there is like discipleship is a radical commitment to actually obeying him. A funny thing happened. Wendy and I were watching TV last night, and for some reason, Jimmy Kimmel was on there. And there was a band. The band that played at the end was this band called A Perfect Circle. And I don't know if you know them, but I used to love them. And they're very non-Christian. And the song is called Talk, Talk. And he kept saying, I couldn't understand half what he said, but he said Jesus a lot. He kept saying the name of Jesus. And so I looked the lyrics up because I was like, this is probably not that great of a song, like faith-wise and being a pastor. And I love the music, but so I looked it up. And the whole song is about the hypocrisy of Christians. The singer of that band's name is Maynard, which is a dope name. Name your kids Maynard. All right, not after him, but you can call him May for short. It's really cool. All right, but Maynard was raised in a Christian home where they taught a lot of things and talked about Jesus, but they never followed through on it. And he is definitely not a believer now, but that whole song is picking on the hypocrisy of believers because he sits there and he says, you talk about Jesus, but you don't walk with Jesus. A non-believer is smart enough to see this and that it's a problem. Because Jesus never told us, hey, just learn information about me and go out and tell people just this information about me. He also told us to do it, to pick up our cross and to actually live like him, right? And that's my next question for you. There is a big difference between believers and followers. Because I know a lot of us in this room are like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Like, I love him. I know about the cross. I believe in that. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in his church. I believe in his power. I believe in the miracles. But the devil says, or the Bible says that the devil also believes, right? Belief is not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is taking that belief and turning it into obedience and actually following Jesus. A disciple doesn't just believe in Jesus. A disciple actually follows Jesus. And I want to say this, especially to some of you that maybe are in just that mode. You're like, I'm starting to believe in this whole Jesus thing. I'm not really living like him. Or maybe you've just kind of backtracked and you're just believing in him, but your lifestyle, how you're living is not looking like Jesus. If you truly, because I have people say that to me all the time, like, I believe in Jesus. I think he was a good teacher, all these good morals and stories that he told, but I don't really follow him. I don't think you can believe in Jesus and not follow him. Because Jesus in the Great Commission and many other places says, if you believe in me, you will what? You will live like me. You will sacrifice like me. You will love like me. You will pray like me. You will give away your life like I did to other human beings. And to say, I believe in him, but then to not act like him and to not love like him and to not live like him, it kind of shows that you really don't believe him. And that kicked me right in the teeth when I read all that and thought about that. A believer is someone who believes in Jesus and maybe goes to church, maybe they don't, maybe they tithe, maybe they don't, maybe they pray, maybe they don't. But a disciple is someone who does all those things for the Lord, for their own faith, but also to show Jesus that they care and they truly have faith in him, but also for other human beings. Because I want you to see, a believer just has certain beliefs and has some knowledge about Jesus. A disciple has made Jesus their life. All right? A disciple has made Jesus their life. And if you're in here and you have given your life to Jesus, you've been baptized, you've asked him into your heart, you've done all the Christian things, I want you to think about your own life. Is Jesus the focal center point of your existence? Or is he just like a lot of Christian people? Just kind of like this compartmentalized little piece of our life, right? He's real easy to hang out with and to worship and to do Jesus-y stuff on Sunday mornings for an hour and a half and maybe on Wednesday nights and some mission trips and stuff. But the rest of the time, if you're honest, you look at your own life, right? And I'm not condemning you and I'm not judging you. I just want you to wake up and see that this is an issue. This is why the church is known as hypocrites. This is why rock stars can look at us and say, you talk about Jesus, but you don't live like him. It's because a lot of us, that's what we do. We live our own life Monday through Saturday. Then we walk in here and we give Jesus a little faith high five. And then we walk out and we go back to our kingdom. We go back to our purpose. I do this too. And we have to fight against this daily. That's why he says you have to pick up your cross daily. You have to remind yourself. That's why we do communion weekly at this church, to remind ourselves that Jesus, the Messiah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of the universe, came here and became one of us and gave his life up for us. And then says, hey, I want you to do the same thing. To follow Jesus, to be a disciple, means you literally give up your life. And he says, pick up your cross daily. It's a daily thing that you get up in the morning and say, even if I died for my faith today, it's worth it to live it out. Not just for me, but for the people that see me. That see me. This word follower is the word apprentice. But there's a better word for it. The word I like and I use is apprentice, right? We are apprentices of Jesus, because in an apprentice, a student can just learn information. But an apprentice doesn't just learn information, they also learn what? What their master, what their teacher does. I want you to think about Jesus' life. When Jesus was a kid, his dad was what? A carpenter, right? Can you imagine the cool stuff Jesus could build? Just think about that for a minute. Like miraculous, like sweet tables. Like Corey Timmons would be jealous of his tables. Right? It would be crazy. But Jesus at one point was like you and I, because he was human, and he was an apprentice of his own father. He learned how to use the tools and how to work the grain the right way on the things that he was building. He didn't just learn the information. You can't just learn how to build things out of wood by reading books. You actually have to start touching the tools and using your hands to make it happen. It's the same with our faith. You have to apprentice with Jesus. You have to read the gospel. You have to read his stories. You have to know his life, but then you actually have to go out and do it. And my fear on this whole idea of discipleship is that so many of us in here know a lot of stuff, a lot of information about Jesus, but so many of us don't apply it enough. We don't share it enough with the people in our world that need it most. I was on Twitter this week. That's where I get a lot of my theology, which, pray for me, but I follow a lot of pastors on there. And this one pastor wrote this, and I thought it applied to this idea of discipleship and being a real follower, a real apprentice of Jesus. He said, faith is not a feeling. The only way that you know you actually have faith is if your feet are moving. The only way that you actually know if you have faith is if your feet are moving. We say it all the time that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We have been given the keys to the kingdom. He says, what I did, I want you to go into the world. I want you to make disciples. I now give you the kingdom. I now give you the opportunity and the honor and the privilege and the duty and the responsibility to go into the world and now be Jesus in blue jeans and be Jesus to every single person that you meet. That's what the Great Commission is. I said we alluded to it all the time in the church, but I want to go over it with you. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, all right? Amazing verses. If you're cool like Elijah, you should get it tattooed on your body somewhere so it will remind you of everything, all right? It says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Think about that for a minute. Teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. How many things did Jesus teach us? Hundreds, probably thousands. And there's probably even more that the people who are hearing this knew that he taught that didn't make it into the Bible. And he says, and be sure of this, and this part is, I like this. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission. This is where Jesus says, hey, you want to know what your mission is. You want to know what your purpose is. Your purpose and your mission as an individual, but also as a group of people called the church, is, once again, disciple-making. Telling people about Jesus, not just getting them saved, but teaching them and showing them how to actually obey and live like Jesus. That's the Great Commission. But then there's also the Great Commandment, right? The Great Commandment is the core teaching of this church, the Well Church. And it is to love God and love people. Church, I want you to understand that these two things, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, are not separate from themselves. They go hand in hand. To love God means you have faith in God. It means that you follow God. It means that you follow Jesus. But to love people means that you actually disciple them, that you actually spend time with them and point them to Jesus. And that does not just mean, and I don't want you to think that this is not a good idea, but so many of us, our level of discipleship is asking someone to come to a church service, right? And who's even afraid to do that with most people? A few of you are like, I don't even want to, I'm terrified of what Cole will do. I get it, all right? And that's good. I want you, that's not good to be scared. Don't be scared. But it's good to invite people to church, but that is just a very, very small step of actually discipling someone. Because the word is apprentice. The word is apprentice. You have to show people what it looks like to walk with Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to spend the rest of our time, I have five characteristics, five attributes of what it looks like to be a disciple. And what is so important here is this. Some of you in this room have been believers like I have for a long time. Some of you have been believers for months or weeks. Right? Some of you in this room might not be a believer. You might not follow Jesus. You might just be asking questions and you're seeking and you're trying to figure all this Jesus stuff out. That's amazing. But for those of you that are followers of Jesus, I want you to think as we go through these, am I doing these myself? Am I actually being an apprentice disciple of Jesus? Because so many of us in this church and in many churches, we're never discipled ourselves. We were one of those people, they got us saved, they got us baptized, we did the prayer, whatever, and they just said, good luck, have a great time, see you at church next week. And no one ever took time to sit down with you outside of a Sunday school class, one-on-one, and teach you what it means to be like Jesus, to live like Jesus, even when everything falls apart, right? Because that's when it really matters. When everything's great, it's easy to follow Jesus, amen? Like, Jesus is awesome, this is great, just won the lottery, whatever. But then when your child dies, or you get a cancer diagnosis, or your spouse leaves you or cheats on you, that's when you look up and you're like, really? Now what? And if no one's ever told you how to rough the storms and make it through and continue to have faith, it can be a very treacherous, treacherous time. So the first thing is this. A real disciple of Jesus submits to a teacher and an apprentice in the way of the teacher. Right? And this is the one where it's about being real. And reality is this. No one in here is sinless. Who sinned this week? Where are my people at? You should raise your hand. You're either not listening or you're sinning right now by lying in church. All right? Listen, I want you to understand this. We are all sinners. Jesus died to take our sin away. And we are called to live like him and to stop sinning, to live a new life. But it's not going to happen. That's a spoiler alert, okay? It's not going to happen. That doesn't mean you just go, oh, well, I'm a sinner. I'm just going to sin anyway. That's abusing what Jesus has done for you. But we all stumble, we all fall, and we all make mistakes, and we all sin. And when we do, we need to repent, and we need to turn back to him. But a real disciple doesn't just live in sin, doesn't just say that they love Jesus, that they go to church, they follow Jesus, and do whatever they want. They actually apprentice like the master in the way of the master. Once again, I want you to think about your own life. Are you actually doing this? Or are you just accumulating knowledge about Jesus? Because this is one of the dangers of church. You can come sit here on Sunday mornings and go to Bible studies and listen to podcasts, and you can get all kinds of information about Jesus. Be like, dude, this is awesome. I know all kinds of stuff. I can quote scripture. I can tell people this. But Jesus said, that is way down on the list of priorities for you. What I want you to do is actually to love people, to serve people, to sacrifice, to go to the down and out, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit those in prison. He don't care if you know the Great Commission by heart. He doesn't know if you know what Revelation's about. He cares about how you love other people, because how we love God is by loving other people. Church, we have to become real, radically obedient followers of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. If you've been taught or you've deceived yourself of going to church, paying tithes, singing a couple songs, and then just living your life however you want, is it? It's not. And that's not I'm not trying to scare you, but like, you're going to hell, you're a horrible person, and Jesus hates you, and you're just done. I want you to understand that you are missing out on what your life was called to be. When you became a Christian, you became a new creation. The way that he wants to train you as an apprentice is a better way than you could ever imagine living. That's why we talk about God's plan and God's idea for your life. It is always better than whatever you had dreamed up or whatever you're still dreaming up. Where he's trying to take you and point you and push you, it will be better every single time. We sang a song about it. God will never let you down. Right? Pastor Ashley said that we will let you down. I will let you down. I'm a screw up. I'm a sinner just like you. I will probably mess up today and probably get mad and judge somebody who drives off when we're out there trying to clean the church up. But God won't let you down. He will never let you down. That's why you learn from him. You don't follow me. You don't apprentice after one of our pastors. You don't apprentice after any other person. You apprentice after Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who died on the cross for you and then rose 3 days from the dead. He's the only one you should follow. Second thing a real follower of Jesus does, this one is huge. Learn the words of Jesus. We do have to have knowledge, right? I don't want you to leave here and be like, we can throw our Bible away. Cole said that. It doesn't matter. Knowing the scriptures isn't important. It is important because we don't worship the Bible, church. Who do we worship? We do not worship the Bible. The Bible is important. The Bible is holy. The Bible is living. The Bible is active. I believe all of those things, but we do not worship the Bible. We worship the Jesus that the Bible has pointed to since Genesis 1. The guy that was promised to come and crush the head of Satan. That is who we worship. We need to know his story. And church, this terrifies me, but I know because I will ask some of you questions or I hear some of you say things. You're like, man, that was really good. A lot of us that are Christians, even some of us who have been disciples for a long time, don't know the story of Jesus. Like right now, I want you to think about your own life. If I said, right now, go find somebody in your life that is a lost person that does not know Jesus, and at noon, actually at 2 after you help clean up the church, go take that person to lunch and tell them the story about Jesus. Some of you would be like, yeah, I'm sick, can't make it, Or you'd be like, well, Jesus died and then he rose from the dead. There's more to the story. My point is this, we don't know it. Because we have not discipled ourselves, we have not been discipled, we have not been apprentices, we don't know it. So here's what's awesome about that. Next week in this discipleship series, our entire Sunday next week is going to be together learning the story of Jesus. For some of you, it's going to be review. You do know the gospel story. But for some of you, there's going to be some new information in there that you don't know. There's going to be a handout. There's no test, so please come back. Don't ditch next week. But they were going to go over the story. And my favorite pastor, he's my mentor, he doesn't know it, but Bruxy Cavey, he came up with this a while back, but he has this cheat sheet, gospel cheat sheet. Whoever cheated in high school? It's honest day. Wow. Everybody. Okay, let's stop and pray. This is a good gospel cheat sheet, all right? It's where you can fold it up and put it in your Bible, and when people ask you questions or when you make a decision, say, I'm going to start discipling somebody or I'm going to start sharing actually what I believe with people. It's so you can hit the highlights of who Jesus was. Because once again, you don't have to have all the answers to get someone saved because that's step one. You just need to give them enough information that they want Jesus and they will be drawn to him because he is the way, the truth, the life that we are all looking for. You got to know the story. Number three, learns the ways of Jesus. A true disciple learns the ways of Jesus, which means, like we've been talking about all morning, you actually live out the way that Jesus lived, right? So many Christians in our culture are hypocrites. All of us are hypocrites on one level. But there's so many of us that are like, yeah, I love Jesus, but you do nothing for him. I love the church. You don't give to the church. I love people, but you judge people, and you don't serve people. You're like, I don't love money, but you worship money. We're hypocritical. We need to learn not just the story of Jesus, but we need to start living and obeying what he did and what he said. The life of a Christian is given to us by Paul. It's in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Super famous verses, but they are fundamental to our faith. It says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Just stop there with me for a second. What do we call worship in the modern church? Sorry, Elijah. Singing. Right? And I know you know this, so I'm not picking on you. But most of the time we're like, well, we had the worship service, and then we had communion, and then we had the teaching, and then we went to lunch. The scripture written by Paul, who was taught by Jesus, says that worship is what? your everyday walking around life. When you're at lunch today, after you clean up the property, after, okay? That's worship. How you treat that waitress is worship. When a teacher does something stupid to your child and you do something bad to them, Jeff, it is worship, okay? Right? The way that you treat your neighbors, the way that you speak to your spouse, it is worship. Every single thing that you do is worship. It's not just singing. Singing songs to God is praise, and he deserves that praise, and it is worship. But I guarantee you when he gets to heaven, he'll be like, man, I really wish you would have sung one more song. Dude, I really wanted to hear Good, Good Father again. I don't think that's going to be it, right? If it is, that'll be weird. But I really think he's going to get there, and he's going to be like, man, how you love those people and reached out to them and served them and spent your money on Compassion Kids and gave up money for Myesha Box for some kids you don't even know or helped the Hope Pregnancy Center or that way that you spoke to that coworker that was going through a divorce. That was awesome. When you gave that cup of water to someone, that's what I'm looking for. I know this because this weird guy named Jesus taught it. Yeah. And he didn't just say it. He actually did it. And then they killed him for it. It's an important thing that we transform our lives. That's the last part of this. Says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. It's absolutely vital. To be a true follower, a true apprentice of Jesus, you have to retrain the way you think, because a lot of us, even in church, have been taught incorrectly the way we think. There's so many of us sitting in this room right now, like, if I don't go to church, I'm letting Jesus down. Right? And I'm not telling you to ditch church. It's for us. It's good. But a lot of us leave here, and we never act like the church, and we have zero issue with that. We got to flip that and rethink the way that we think. We got to remix the remix in our brain and retrain and retransform the way we think. Transform into thinking like Jesus. You got to open your eyes and open your ears spiritually to see the fields of people that he says are lost and are waiting for someone to teach them. And it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We go over this all the time. So many of us, this is the number one question I get as a pastor. I just really wish I knew what God's plan for my life was. We've gone over this recently. What is God's plan for your life? To live like him every single day. To pick up your cross. To, instead of being transformed to the culture, being transformed into Jesus and loving people and serving Jesus every single moment of your life. That is the plan for your life. And it's perfect. And it's pleasing to God. Number four, when all these things start coming together, number four happens is a disciple lives out what is learned. True disciples live out what is learned in community, church, right? And they bear fruit. All right? That doesn't mean you're like, and I get like an apple coming out of your armpit. Fruit of the Spirit, which is patience and peace, kindness, love, generosity, serving. It's basically you're going to transform into being like Jesus. People, you're going to slowly become like Jesus. And then you're going to bear fruit of other people, because the church, this community that God built, is analogized as a vineyard, and we are branches. Every time a new person becomes a Christian, they have a branch planted into the vine, which is him. And we are to bear fruit and to make other disciples. It goes back to that beginning thing, go into all the world and make disciples. My point is this, and I want you to think about this. What fruit in your life are you producing? Is your life starting to look more and more like Jesus, or is it just more and more like just a church member? Do you have anybody under you, spiritual children, that you have helped get into the kingdom by teaching them and discipling them? Most of us don't. Disciples live what we learn in this room, and then we go out and we do it. And then number five is that real disciples find and train other disciples. And I know for a fact this has been neglected in this church in certain pockets. The place that this happens the most and is still happening the most is in youth group, because kids are just moldable and we think, okay, that's what we do, and that's what we do. Youth group is basically just one big discipleship class. And the small groups. And I know that we have this happening in some of our small groups and stuff, but real discipleship, the discipleship that Jesus modeled, is taking someone one-on-one and telling them about who Jesus is. After they're saved, before they're saved, definitely after. Training them and showing them what it looks like to be an apprentice. Real disciples become disciple makers. Not because they have to. It should naturally be happening. This is why I know that the church is in a neglectful place. Because not only is this not naturally happening, a lot of us have pushback on it. Like, well, are you sure? Or like, we don't even know what it looks like. It's been so far gone and repressed and taken out of the normal life of believers that we don't even understand it anymore. Right? And that's scary. It's the Great Commission. The mission that Jesus, when he left the planet and flew up like Superman and went back to heaven to be with God, said, hey, this is your mission. Everything I taught you boils down to this. Make disciples. Bill Holt wrote a book called New Century Disciple Making. And it says this, God's primary plan for the church is for disciples of Jesus to develop other men and women into disciples. There is probably no other more primary matter of negligence in the church today than our failure to follow the Lord's command to develop disciples. And because of this gross neglect, many Christians think of themselves as an audience to be entertained rather than an army ready to march. Discipleship must function as the heart of church ministry. All right? And I want you to understand this. And I love you, and I love the Well Church. And I know that most of you don't think this way, but some of us act this way because we've just been conditioned to do it. Because there's one guy or one person standing on a stage teaching. And you sit here as an audience and go, okay, well, that was good. I felt fed. Who has ever said that in your brain? I don't want you to raise your hand. But I've heard people say this. Well, I really felt fed by that sermon or that teaching. Or I left that church because they didn't feed me. Or I didn't feel good. Or I didn't like the music. I didn't like the worship. I didn't like how they did communion. I didn't like how they prayed or they didn't pray. I don't like how they have the box over here for offering. That's audience. The kingdom of God, the church that Jesus built, there's no audience. There's only people that are in the game, right? Some of you are not in the game. And it's just a good idea, but like, hey, I want you to be disciple makers. It's you have to be part of it. We're all part of it. And it's not just a command, it's an honor. It's not just a responsibility. It is the plan that Jesus has for your life. It's the most exciting thing that you can get to be part of. And once again, my question for you is this. Are you just a believer in Jesus, or are you a disciple? And I want you to think about that in your right now, everyday walking around life, where you are today in this room. Do you just merely believe in Jesus, or do you actually follow him? Are you actually trying to live out his ways? Not just on Sundays in front of your church people, Monday through Saturday, in your cubicle, at your school, at your job, wherever you find yourselves, wherever you are, at 7-Eleven getting coffee or gas, right? In traffic, and someone cuts you off. Oh, that one's not good. Are you living like Jesus? Are you discipling your children? Are you loving your neighbors? Are you being a light in a dark world? There's a very big difference. A very big difference in believing in Jesus and following him. And I want to go back to that other question. When is the last time? This is a way to check your fruit and to see what you're doing. When is the last time you discipled another human being? A lot of us in this room can say never. Never. And if Jesus says it's the mission that you were given, it's the purpose of the church to be a disciple maker, I just want you to think about this, and it's not to scare you, it's to wake you up from your faith slumber. When we get to heaven, Jesus says that he is either going to look at us and say, get away from me, for I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant. If you never make a disciple, you never teach others about Jesus and help them to understand who he is and what he's about, I want you to truly consider what he's going to say to you. Not to make you fearful, but to make you realize we actually have a mission here. We actually have a purpose. We are actually called and commanded to obey him. Not just to check religious boxes, to go to church and sing songs and put a check in a box. We are called to love people radically. We are called to lay down our lives in a radical way. We are called to use our finances in a radical way. This is what Christianity is about. And it should be exciting, but a lot of us were like, oh my gosh, I suck at this. If you're honest, I do. That's how I feel. I'm like, man, I blow this all the time. And I focus on Jesus loves me and everything's good. He'll be fine with this because he does love you and he does forgive you. But he also says, I want you to have a purpose. And not because he wants us to do it out of just obligation. He wants us to see that this is the life that he has called us to. He says, I came to give you life to the full. This is where it's found. We're looking for it in so many other places. And we look outside of the church and we go, oh, they're looking for it in drugs and sex and power. We're looking for it in just good churchy experiences. That butterfly feeling, oh, I love that song. That was so good. That was my favorite song. And we miss what it truly means to be a disciple, which is actually living like Jesus. Because we need you, right? We say this here at the Well Church all the time. We need you, and you need us. We are called to be a community of believers that work together, share our resources, and lift one another up to make all of this happen. And not just on Sundays. This is why we push home church. It's why we call our small groups home church, right? Home church is something that throughout the week reminds you that you are believers and you have people to rely on. My home church met yesterday at Lake Arcadia, and we had a bunch of fun, and we just talked, and we're there for one another. And it's an amazing thing to have like-minded people in your life to share with the good and the bad. So what I want you to get from this, my entire purpose of this message is that we actually have a responsibility to make disciples. We actually have a responsibility to feed ourselves and to disciple ourselves. So what I'm asking you to do in these next 4 weeks is to start reading the scriptures. Start learning the story of Jesus. Not just for yourself. I want you to feed yourself and to fill yourself with the gospel, who is Jesus, and all of his love and all of the things that he did, so that you can go into this world and actually share it with people. Because when you start to ingest Jesus into your life and you start to live like him, you will become alive. You'll become excited. Some of you are bored in your faith because you're not doing this. Some of you are bored with this church or bored with me or whatever because you're projecting your non-action so-called Christianity onto other people. Jesus will transform you. He will never let you down, and he will take your light that you get excited about. Other people will see it, and it will naturally start happening where you reach other people. In this world, one person at a time will be changed into the kingdom of God, because we don't just raid around and go to heaven. We are to bring heaven to where? Earth. Jesus brought heaven to earth, and then he says, you do likewise. That's what I want us to learn in this discipleship thing. Not just to go to church and have rosy feelings and pat yourself on the back for being an okay person. I want you to learn that you are a jacked up, messed up, fallen sinner saved by the grace of Jesus, and that he can take you and reach other jacked up, fallen, messed up, sinful people and change them from the inside out just like he has you. That's what church is, amen? That's who he is. That's what he is. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to pray and we're going to worship via a song, and we're going to give you a time to just maybe pray and to respond. For those of you in the room that are already followers of Jesus, if you are like me and you realize, look, I'm not doing this at the level that I need to be doing it. I need to repent and actually start living like Jesus, not just knowing things about him. Just use this time to pray and to repent and say, Jesus, I need to come back. I need to start doing this in my own life. I need to start pushing outside of these walls and reaching the people in my circles of influence that need you. And then those of you in this room that are not followers of Jesus yet, this is what real Christianity looks like. This Jesus guy showed up from heaven. He is actually God in the flesh, and he died for you. He didn't just die for you. He taught you how to live. He showed you a new way to live. He loved you. He took your sins while he was on the cross, and your sins are gone. Then he resurrected from the dead, and he said, you can have new life in me. The life that you're searching for is not going to be found in anything in this world. If you're looking for something that's going to fill you up, he says, I am it. And if you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life, we're going to have some of our leaders in the back. They can pray with you. They can help you find material and figure out what it looks like to take that first step of becoming an apprentice disciple of Jesus. So if that's you or you just need to pray, man, hit your knees up here at the altar. Go in the back, find someone to pray with. But do real business with Jesus. Quit playing games in your life and faking it and actually start living like he does. Let's pray. Raise your hand to Jesus if you're okay with doing that with me. Jesus, you are so good. So good. You're so powerful. I just thank you for the fact that you came here, that you left heaven to become one of us, to give us new life. Father, I pray that all of us would start taking our responsibility of actually following you to heart. I pray that you would fill us with your joy and your love and your excitement. Fill our lives up with everything that you have, and then send us out to make disciples, to show other people what it looks like to be like Jesus. Help us to live like you every single moment of our lives. When we screw up and we fall down and we stumble, help us to pick ourselves up and then just start running after you one more time. Father, I pray for the people in this room that are not yet believers. Pray that you impress with your Holy Spirit on their hearts and their minds that you are real and that you are here and that you are chasing them down because you love them as your child. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for everything that you continue to do on our behalf from heaven. It's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Cole from The Well Church. I'm so excited you listened to our podcast. I'd be even more excited to see you in person at a Sunday service at The Well Church. God is moving and doing so much in our church, and we want you to be part of it. You can also give online to The Well Church if you're looking for a way to do that, but we would love to see you and love to have you worship with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at The Well Church. Have an awesome day, and always remember that Jesus loves you so much.